This episode will be held in English. Bem-vindos ao podcast da Moraes Leitão. O episódio de hoje será o primeiro de uma série sobre a lei das startups. António Queiroz Martins, Catarina Almeida Andrade, Luís Roquete Geraldes e Maria Gouveia vão discutir as principais alterações que esta nova legislação traz.
Welcome everyone, thank you for joining us. Basically, today we're going to break down the new startup law and breaking it down in two main components, I would say. The first one is to have the very favorable tax regime and describe it in a bit more detail, but also try to understand what companies are eligible for this type of favorable tax regime. And with that, I would pass on to Catarina.
Yeah, I would like to jump right into it, Luis, and ask you, get your opinion on why do you believe it is necessary or it was necessary to have a legislation solely focused on startups? What does it bring to the table?
It brings a lot, actually. Yeah, we didn't have one in Portugal, and I think it sets the tone for regulatory upheaval, I would say. The point is, Portugal is incredibly attractive, but not for the regulatory aspect of the ecosystem, I would say. So this is adding on to the perfect storm that Portugal was mounting. And now we do feel that we have the regulatory landscape. We can compete in terms of tax favorable regime, in terms of stock option and attraction of talent with the likes of the US, the UK, Canada, even even Estonia, for instance, that has a remarkable regime. So I think it sets the tone for what Portugal wants to do going forward. And with that, I think we can segue to Maria to actually try to understand what are the main topics addressed with this piece of legislation, which I think is going to be very, very favorable.
Thanks, Luis. Well, this new legislation was approved last March and is expected to be published very briefly. It has two main points that are embraced by the law. The first one responds to the lack of notions, notably the definition of startup and scale-up and their process of recognition that until the present date did not exist. But the second one, and probably the most relevant, relates with the tax aspects of the law. And this is a law that was being claimed for a long time, both by the startup ecosystem and company employers and employees, because until now, stock option income was taxed even without having the corresponding liquidity. This means that when an employee will exercise the stock option, well, holding the right, he was taxed, but without having the cash, the underlying cash. And this was very, very unfair because sometimes the employees were imposed to sell the options to pay the taxes, the underlying taxes. And the second one relates also with the tax rate that applies to stock option income that is exactly the same that applies to other employment income. So there is no clear difference between employment income related with stock options, and therefore there is no environment of incentivizing this kind of attribution. But Antonio, please tell us more about the law. Tell us about the difference between the current regime and the regime that will be enforced in the future, and the main tax aspects that relate to it.
Thank you, Maria. So the devil is indeed in the details, and I would like us to focus in two main aspects. One is what Maria have already explained, which is the alignment between the use of the option and the taxable event. So now it is clear that the only taxable event referring to the exercise of stock options is the liquidity event. This is very relevant because from our experience, the startup community enjoys paying taxes as much as we all do. However, they of course don't like to pay taxes when there is no cash position. As Maria put it, it was really unfair, and it was, I'd say, a very perverse effect of the old regime. This new regime is very good because it corrects it, and it indeed creates an incentive. And the second idea, I think it's also very favorable, is the application of a very low effective tax rate. So we are talking about a 14% flat tax rate. This law keeps the qualification of the stock option employment income as employment income. So it doesn't change the qualification of the income, but it grants him a flat tax rate and a low tax rate, which I think it's very good news. From our experience, as Luis already put it, this sets out one of the most European attractive regimes for companies to have employees receiving options in Portugal. And in this context, I'd like to give back to you, Maria, to clarify to which companies does this law apply? So in specific, what type of companies are we talking about?
Thanks, Antonio. Well, probably some of you already heard that the law would not be applicable to a wide range of companies. However, one must not focus only on the startup concept. In fact, it is applicable to startups under the new definition, but it also applies to micro entities, small entities, medium entities, small mid-cap companies, and also to R&D entities. The criteria must be assessed under what is the activity that is performed by the company. Their size is also a very relevant criteria, notably staff headcount, turnover, balance, if the costs relate or not with R&D, with R&D expenses. And this leads to a wide scope of entities that may qualify to the regime, and therefore having the clear set of the fulfillment of the criteria is a very relevant information that all companies must have in order to verify whether they are or not eligible entities for the purpose of attributing stock option plans.
So having this in mind, what I think it's very relevant from what Maria just told us is that this is not a niche regime. So we would say that the companies should be alert, I'd say, for four main aspects. One is check if they are eligible according to the criteria that this law sets for. Second, if there is a review or a cleanup of the current ESOP plans that is necessary. Third, how can they implement the practical procedures to be recognized as one of the eligible entities? And fourth, how can this law produce effects into the ESOP plan that are currently in force? So as Maria put it, I think this is very relevant. This law produces effects back to the 1st of January 2023, meaning that there is a time issue that needs to be addressed. Finally, we want to thank you all for your attention, for staying with us until the very end. Please stay tuned because we are preparing a second episode, still covering this new stock option law. In order to walk you through the legal details, the tax regime, and all the questions that may arise. Thank you very much.